This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with Speakeasy Marketing and Jacobs in Whitehall. Today is the final step of the authority snowball, building a referral network. So every attorney I've known, and I've known thousands, loves referrals, used to get a lot of them, and now it doesn't get nearly as many, or perhaps none. So it's a very important area of business, and it's going to take a very different approach to it nowadays. You know, now that things are way far along, and 80% plus of people use their smartphones to search for attorneys. So referrals are still possible. Quite a few number of referrals are still possible. But again, the techniques and the approach to do it, it's all going to rest on you further building your authority. And I'm going to show you how in this step. So all attorneys, I think, would agree that referrals are pretty much the best leads. They have very little price resistance. They're preconditioned to respect you and to want to work with you. They're reaching out to you, and they've been referred by a colleague, you know, someone of stature themselves, and they make better and more cooperative clients that tend to pay more. So referrals, probably the best clients you could ever get, but I would say 95%, and I'm probably being generous here, 95% of attorneys have no system for attracting referrals. It just happens or it doesn't happen. They get them or they don't get them. They feel like they're getting them or they feel like they're not getting them, and that just doesn't work because in today's world, like I mentioned, at least 80%, and I've watched this change, of legal clients use their smartphones to look up attorneys. It used to be that, you know, they would use Yellow Pages, etc. Then laptops and computers came and the World Wide Web came and people started using the web more and more. Then mobile arrived, and I watched all this transition to mobile first and just about mobile only. Mobile represents, again, the vast majority of the way people look for attorneys. It's so convenient. It's right in your pocket. People sleep with their phones, so at any moment, they can pull up their phone and look, and dozens of attorneys will pop up instantly that they can contact. That makes it very difficult, obviously, as we talked about, to stand out and also to get referrals because people will tend to say, should I look for an attorney? Should I ask someone? Yeah, I'm just going to look right now. I want to solve this problem now. I don't want to wait on it. So they'll just look immediately on their phone. So again, this doesn't mean you can't get a significant amount of business from referrals, but here's some of the stuff that you're going to need. You're going to need a referral network. So who can be in your referral network? Well, one is past clients that you did a good job for. And I've talked about this in other podcasts, but past clients must be cultivated. They have family members. They have friends. They have people they work with. They have spouses. They have children. They have uncles and aunts, etc. It doesn't matter your practice area, estate planning, divorce, DUI, you know, sex crimes, whatever it is, anyone that you represent is a human being. And just about everyone has family or associates or friends or something. It's very rare that there's the loner serial killer. So taking that into account, if you're in the life of the person that you've helped, auto accident, whatever it may be, and you're in their life in a good way, not a negative way, but a positive way periodically, and you show up in their life every month through a newsletter or through other means, they're much more likely to remember you. And I can tell you, from being in this business now for 12 years, I've spoken to everyone I'd known in my life. And when I tell them what they do, inevitably it'll come up in conversation. Oh yeah, you know, I had a DUI a bunch of years ago, or I was divorced and I used a lawyer, or yeah, I got my will done by an attorney, or you know, I was in an auto accident, whatever. And I always say, oh really, huh. Who did you have represent you? I know attorneys in pretty much every state in the United States. Tell me, maybe I'll know them. And they go, I don't know, some guy or some lady. I don't remember. That's the answer I get 99.99999% of the time. Is it your fault as an attorney? No. When people work with you, it's almost never for a positive reason, unfortunately. That's okay. You guys are champions. You help people. And you do a fantastic job. And thank God for you. Thank God for all of you. Believe me, I have a lot of respect. But you're there to help someone through a negative time in their life. And human nature being what it is they don't want to remember you. They don't want to hear from you again because hearing from you equals bad. If think about it yourself. If you've had a lawyer yourself for some reason and your lawyer calls you, you're like, oh no, now what? What do they want? because you think it's going to be a bad thing, which makes a lot of sense. So past clients are an incredibly important resource for referrals, and it doesn't have to be negative. You can send them a monthly newsletter with positive, uplifting, or informative type information. We teach that, and definitely it's something you should do. You shouldn't do it yearly. You shouldn't do it quarterly. And here's why. If you think about any relationship you have in your life, what makes a tighter relationship versus an acquaintance or just every once in a while? Well, the tighter relationships, you talk to those people a lot more regularly. Husband or wife, kids, hopefully you're talking to them at least once a week, if not every day. Would you try to have a relationship with your wife or husband once a quarter? No. Or once a year? Well, same thing with past clients, for instance. And same thing with other referral sources, which I'm about to mention. You need to have a continuous, ongoing relationship. I'm not saying every day. I'm not saying every week. But every month is a pretty good sweet spot. So if it ends up costing you $1.25 per past client per month to send a newsletter, that's $18 a year per past client. And if you get, I don't know, let's say there's, 100 of them, you know, $1,800 a year you're spending, you get one case a lot of times that'll more than offset it. And if you do this for a year just with 100 people, it's very likely you're going to get at least one case, one referral. If we take it to 1,000 past people, yeah, then it's a lot more expensive, but it only takes a few cases to offset that amount. So newsletters and communicating with past clients is super important. Now, who else can be in your referral network? Well, I've learned over time that different practice areas are complementary to each other. Unfortunately, people dealing with divorce may end up in bankruptcy. They may go to domestic violence because of their frustration. They may need their estate plan revised because, again, there's a divorce, there's a break in the family, things are changing. If someone is dealing with bankruptcy, it may lead to divorce. It may lead to the stress of committing a crime unintentionally. It may lead to all kinds of things. If you're in an auto accident and you can't work, well, again, there's bankruptcy again. Maybe there's divorce because of money strain. So every practice area, doesn't matter what it is, has related practice areas and related things that happen to people that they need help with. If you get a DUI, you may need SR22 insurance, auto insurance. That's a lot more expensive and high risk. It just depends. So if you're an attorney in Kansas City and you do divorce family law, you want to network with attorneys in Kansas City that deal with bankruptcy and estate planning and criminal defense and on and on and on. They're not your competitors. They have clients that may overlap with your area. You have clients that you can refer to them that may overlap with their areas, and it's a good relationship. So they're another source of referral partners. And guess what? They should be communicated with every month as well, just like your past clients. They should be with your newsletter and everything. Other sources, businesses in your area. So if you're a business lawyer, you should be going around and speaking to all the small businesses. You know, if you need help, if you're having any issues, if you need to know about licensing requirements or state health, state or city health requirements, which lately have been changing like crazy, the business needs you as a resource. If they want to open up a new company, if they want to take on a partner, if they want to have key man insurance, whatever it is, negotiate their commercial lease. These businesses can definitely be a source for you. If you're doing family law, or if you're doing criminal defense, or if you're doing employment law, or if you're doing estate planning, it doesn't matter. These, again, businesses are composed of people that have all the same legal issues as anyone else. Also, let's say you're a personal injury. This is probably obvious. Companies that do auto repair, body shops, pain doctors, chiropractors, things like that. That's immediately who you can think of for referrals. If you do estate planning, you may want to deal with CPAs. Again, other attorneys, you know, tax professionals, that kind of stuff. So there's multiple kinds of referral partners. Like I said, past clients and their family, friends, associates, coworkers, etc., local businesses, and then other professionals, which also includes local businesses but goes beyond. CPAs, doctors, auto body shops, bail bondsmen, insurance companies, and on and on and on. These are all partners that can refer you business. And if you're actively curating and cultivating a network of people that know about you, that hear from you every month, guess what's going to happen? Problems will strike, and they're much more likely to contact you than just go to Google blindly. And they'll remember you. They'll say, oh, yeah, you know, Sarah Johnson. That's right. She helped my friend with a divorce case. call her. Maybe she knows somebody. I know she can't help you with your problem, but maybe she knows somebody. Or, you know, you're getting a divorce. Call Sarah Johnson. She helped me. She was pretty good. I don't know if she can help you, but she could at least point you to somebody. Okay? So your referral network can be big. It could be 1,000 or multiple thousands of people. Again, people know people. So you have to think big picture. Who would be people that would potentially refer to you? And I can tell you from experience, some of them you think would be great referral partners and going to refer a lot to you will never refer. It's just how they are. Other people, they don't look like they'd be a good source of referrals, and they refer tons of people. It's weird, but I've just noticed this. So you want to cultivate a big, broad referral network because you never know. But what you're going to see is over the course of a year or two, for some reason, there'll be certain people that just refer 3 to 5 times as many people as others. I don't know why, they just will. They're just those kind of people. And those people you want to lavish even more attention on because they're referring to you, and you want to thank them for the referrals, and you want to send them more stuff and just keep cultivating that relationship. So again, you'll see some will do nothing, but some will. And it's an excellent source of new clients for you. Now, the second key, which is incredibly important. Well, let me before I get to that, it probably doesn't need to be said, but if you build your authority and you have a great platform and you get referrals, they're going to go a lot more smoothly than if you don't have anything. If you haven't done a book, if you haven't been featured in the media or none of this stuff, it's going to be much harder to get referrals because you look and feel and smell just like any other attorney. But if you have all this platform and this authority, you're going to immediately stand out. And if you're referred and you have this platform, look out. Then you're really going to attract a lot of referrals. So let's go to part 2. Part 2 is the tools of referral. So how do you get people to refer to you? Now, there's an art to this. It's not so simple just as keeping in contact with them, but you need to give them easy ways to refer to you. We call this the tools of referral. I learned a lot of this from Dan Kennedy. You want to make it easy. So if I go around to a bunch of body shops and pain doctors and bail bondsmen, whatever it is, and I've done a book and I give them 20 copies of the book each to put in their lobby, that would be a great way to stoke conversations and referrals. So we had a client in Florida that did this with bail bondsmen years ago, and he wasn't allowed to say to the bail bondsman, recommend me. But the bail bondsman had the book sitting right there. The person comes to their desk, sitting there in handcuffs sometimes, and the book's there. The person says, I need a lawyer. The bail bondsman says, I can't give you anyone specific, but here's a free book that one of our guys gave us. Here, take a copy. And that got this attorney quite a bit of business. It wasn't here I'm giving you money to refer or anything like that. It just was happenstance. The book was there. And I've literally heard these stories in person. Books sitting in the waiting room of, again, a pain doctor or an auto body shop or whatever it is. All these things are tremendously helpful to get referrals. But you want to make it easy for people. You don't want to just say, hey, if you know anyone that needs help with a will or a trust or an estate plan, let them know my name. That's not enough. You know, if you give them a business card, okay, well, that's a little something. Give them 20 business cards. Give them 100 business cards. Tell them to put it in their office. Tell them to have it on hand. If you've got a book, give them the book. If you've got multiple books, give them a few copies of each of the books. Now here's where the authority comes in. So that's great, but what if you not only have multiple books, but you're featured in media, you have a radio show, you appear in other people's podcasts, you've got these logos and accolades and everything all over your site, all over your book, and now the person that refers you will look good. Because they refer you, they say to the person, hey, you should talk to this person. And they go, okay. But if instead they say, hey, you should talk to this person, she's been in the media, look at this, she's got a book, here's a copy of her book, this lady's represented all kinds of really great clients, I see her all the time, she has her own radio show, she does podcasts, she does et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The person goes, sheesh, I don't know if I can afford this person, but okay, do you think I can afford them? I've literally heard that conversation too. Yeah, they have pretty good prices. Call them up and see what they can do. But this is the best person I know that could help you. Now that is a powerful referral. Don't you want to be that attorney that looks so good that people are just like they're scared to even call you because they think you charge a lot? That's the kind you want to be because that attracts affluent clients that want the best. They don't want the cheapest. They want the best. And those are some of the best people to get, as you know. So these are the two main halves of what it takes to have a referral system. The third part is how do you get this information out to people? How do you constantly and consistently get these tools of referral into the right hands and build your network? All these items, all these methods, all these tools we can help you with. And this is really the feather in the cap on your authority. This is how you really expand your reach and get tons more business and make just an absolute ton of money and really change your practice by getting more affluent clients and just setting yourself apart authority-wise. So these are all the things we've been talking about. As usual, if you want help with this, contact us. We have a special going for January through the end where we help you do the authority snowball, various aspects of it. You don't have to do it all, but you can pick 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 aspects, whatever you want to do. We can do all of this for you. We have experience doing it. We do many of these same things ourselves. That's why you're listening. If I didn't build up my authority, and if Tracy didn't build up her authority, and if Speakeasy didn't, you wouldn't pay attention to us. But by virtue of you listening, it means we have at least some level of authority with you. So if you want help with this, call 888-225-8594. Email support@speakeasymarketinginc.com. Inc. means INC. Visit speakeasymarketinginc.com. Contact us, and we'll set you up an appointment. We'll have one of our authority experts speak to you and get you on the road to having this authority yourself. So thank you for listening to this series, and I'm confident it has a ton of value should you wish to engage, and I hope you do. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.